Welcome to Inspiring on BBS Radio. I am your host, as usual, Jeanette Bryant. I will be hosting the show today, partially alone, but at some point during the show, I will have Tiffany Henderson join me as we discuss the importance of building self-esteem in children. Yesterday was my birthday, and I'm thankful to know that I have people's love, support in my life daily. Thank you for all the birthday wishes, the gifts, the flowers, the thoughtful cards I receive from each and every one of you. A special thank you to my two beautiful children and my students at the Salter School as they show me lots of love yesterday. So let's go right into the topic, self-esteem. Self-esteem is a person's self-worth. Basically, it is how much a person values himself, how a person views himself also can change yearly based on circumstances. It is important to note that self-esteem develops from infancy and keep going until we are adult. Self-esteem is also feeling capable of doing anything while also feeling loved. A child who is happy with an achievement but does not feel loved may eventually experience low self-esteem. Likewise, a child who feels loved but is hesitant about his or her own ability can develop low self-esteem. Healthy self-esteem comes when a good balance is maintained, especially when there are two people in the home, a child feels, and there is a lot of love shared between parents, the child's self-esteem can go both ways. It can build strong or it can become low. So parents need to pay attention to that factor as well. Patterns of self-esteem start very early in life. The concept of success, following efforts and persistence starts early. Once people enter adulthood, it is harder to make changes to how they see and define themselves. So it is wise to think about developing and promoting self-esteem during childhood. As kids try, fail, try again, fail again, they finally succeed. They develop ideas about their own capabilities, about what they have to do to maintain success or what are the steps they should take to continue to maintain success. At the same time, they are creating a self-concept based on interaction with other people, understanding that if I fail, it's okay. I will pick up from where I started and start over again. And this is why parental involvement is key to helping kids form accurate, healthy self-perceptions. This is in part what Kids Be Aware does, enable children to reinforce the expectation that unhealthy behaviors, attitudes, opinions, and habits will interfere with healthy lifestyle in adulthood, and that to attain all of that, we have to maintain a high self-esteem, and high self-esteem is key to better health. Parents and caregivers can promote healthy self-esteem by showing encouragement and enjoyment in many areas. Avoid focusing on one specific area. For example, success on a spelling test can lead to kids feeling that they are only as valuable as their score. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Inspiring. Please feel free to share your viewpoints with us by calling us using the information on our webpage there on BBS Radio. Self-esteem fluctuates as kids grow. It is frequently changed and fine-tuned because it is affected by child's experiences and new perceptions. So it helps to be aware of the signs of both healthy and unhealthy self-esteem. Kids with low self-esteem may not want to try new things or may speak negatively about themselves. I am stupid. I will never learn how to do this. I cannot do that. I am so dumb right now. What's the point? Nobody cares about me anyway. They may exhibit a low tolerance for frustration, giving up easily, and or waiting for somebody else to take over. They tend to be overly critical and easily disappointed in themselves. Basically, they are the best critic of themselves. Kids with low self-esteem see temporary setbacks as permanent and intolerable condition, and a sense of pessimism prevails. This can place kids at risk for stress, mental health problems, as well as real difficulties solving different kind of problems and challenges they encounter. So kids with high with self-esteem tend to enjoy low self-esteem, I mean, tend to enjoy interacting with, let me back up on that one. What I meant to say is that kids with healthy self-esteem tend to enjoy interacting with others. They are comfortable in social settings and enjoy group activities as well as independent pursuits. When challenges arise, they can work toward finding solutions and voice discontentment without blaming themselves or others. For example, rather than saying, I am an idiot, a child with healthy self-esteem will say, I don't understand it. They know their strengths and weaknesses and accept them. A sense of optimism prevails. Good self-esteem is as important factor in raising healthy children. Children who have good self-esteem are more likely to act independently, handle both positive and negative emotions, assume responsibility, and appropriately handle peer pressure. According to the National Mental Health Information Center at the United States Department of Health and Human Services, a good self-esteem is something that a child should develop when they are very little. The parents should strive in maintaining and teaching the kids to accept themselves. Primarily, acceptance is the key. Additionally, people with good self-esteem are more likely to create healthy, secure, and honest relationships and are less likely to develop eating disorder, depression, or other mental health conditions, according to the Mayo Clinic. So how to identify low self-esteem in children? According to Kids Health, part of the Newell Foundation, a child's self-esteem changes as he or she grows up. But the organization has a few signs parents should look for. Challenges can become a source for anxiety for children with self-esteem problems. The children are usually easily frustrated, want to give up, and make negative statements about themselves. For example, like I said earlier, I am stupid. The foundation also says children with low self-esteem are usually pessimistic, do not want to try things, and are highly critical. We will post tips on our Facebook page to help you identify if your child has low self-esteem and what you can do to help him or her. How parents can help build self-esteem in children is a very number one problem and the number one solution that we should focus on. Parents should look for opportunities to praise their children when they have done a good job or put forth a lot of effort, according to the National Mental Health Information Center. Affection and spontaneity can also help your son or daughter self-esteem, according to Kids Health. So laugh at yourself, demonstrating to your child that it is okay to laugh at yourself when you have failed, shows the importance of a sense of humor, according to the National Mental Health Information Center. The center also advises helping children rethink things in a positive way instead of focusing on negative feelings on themselves. Have your children take responsibility of their own problems. You can help them think of other solutions and answer their questions, but solving a problem can bolster your child's confidence, according to the National Health Information Center. The Kids Health Center also suggests that professional help for your son or daughter's self-esteem problem should be your number one priority if you, as a parent, are unable to help your child. So it is important for parents to work in building their kids' confidence, work in making sure that children are building the self-esteem that they need from the start. Let's look into a couple of setbacks that kids have when they have low self-esteem. Kids with low self-esteem tend to become, for example, bullied. We talked about bullying in a couple of months back, and we were saying how bullying is a problem in our society. But now, talking about self-esteem, we also enter the problem of bullying at some sense because children who have low self-esteem can actually become bullied, and they can become bullied themselves because of the lack of self-esteem that they have. So it becomes then a concern for parents to look into what creates frustration in children, what makes kids have a low self-esteem, look at themselves and tell themselves that they are unable to do some things. I remember when I was a child, I used to have to do things and I would try and I would fail and I would say to myself for a minute, I'm not going to go back and try again. But I would sit down and think about it and say, you know, I am going to go try. I'll keep trying until I find a way of making it right. If I did not find a way of making it right, I will find somebody who can help me understand the reason why I could not fix that and the reason why I keep failing. And until this day, as an adult, I have maintained a level of self-esteem that is important, necessary for me to walk into society and do things in society. And I say this to my kids all the time. They should remove the word "I cannot" into their vocabulary. You have to do and provide the best that you can possibly do before you can give up and say, I have tried and I have asked for counsel and nothing seems to work. But you cannot give up and feel defeated just because of a simple task. You have to do everything possible. Try everything in a book possible that you can try and do the best and give the best and put your best foot forward before saying that you did it, but it's not giving the result that you needed. To me, when you don't try anything and you feel defeated even before starting, that's an issue. That's a problem with self-esteem. That's having low self-esteem because you don't even try. I have heard people say to me, well, I have students, and usually I will tell them, I say, we have a test, and I need you guys to go and study. Well, I know I already failed that test anyway. They have low self-esteem. They didn't even try. They feel defeated even before trying, and that's a problem because you set your mind to failure versus setting your mind and saying, you know, I may not understand the material, but I am going to do the best that I can. And if I don't get it, I will come back and try again next time. And that shows that you understand and you have self-esteem enough to do the things that you need to do. So this type of defeated attitude that adults themselves have needs to be addressed so that they can talk to the children and help the children develop a greater sense of self-esteem. Having self-esteem is very, very important. So as parents, we need to look into what we are doing that send wrong messages to our kids to feel bad about themselves and to feel that they just cannot do anything whatsoever. Because I am talking by myself right now, I will take a short break and I will come right back just to take a few minutes for myself. So I had to take a little break and to kind of like drink a little bit of water and come back. So now let's continue to talk about self-esteem. How do parents and teachers, for example, because we know as parents that we send our kids to school and we send them to an environment where they are at risk of developing and having and developing more low self-esteem of themselves because of the reaction of the other students, the reaction of teachers, and also because of their own performance there at school. So parents and teachers have the right to feel frustrated at times sometimes when managing children who are being distracted because of low self-esteem. At the same time, telling a child who has a low self-esteem or who is distracted that she's not paying attention and cannot pay attention or have failed to expelled from school can make the situation 10 times worse. So how do we strategize and create an environment of success, an environment of love, an environment of understanding to allow the child to have a self-esteem, develop a greater and healthy self-esteem? We need to start being understanding. We need to remember that children with low self-esteem struggle with their feelings of inadequacy, and it is very important for parents and teachers alike to be empathetic with this frustration and with this kid's frustration, and to help them and encourage them and motivate them in doing the things that they necessarily will not do because of the fear of not doing it right, because of the fear of feeling stupid. So sometimes it's best as parents to say something like, I realize that you're frustrated with these problems or getting this issue done, but how can I help you? What do you think that I should do to help you pass that frustration? Sometimes just hearing them, sometimes just talking with these kids, understanding the reasons why they are feeling a sense of inadequacy can help boost their self-esteem in doing the things that they necessarily would not have thought of doing. Usually when we're frustrated as parents, we tend to like come off and start probably sometimes we can be yelling or we send our frustration voice to these kids. It is important to remain calm and firmly and be in control of the situation. We need to avoid yelling at them. Yelling is just an adult temper and tantrum. And usually when we do that, we shut the children down and they are unable to come up and tell us exactly how they're feeling and why they feel the way they are feeling. So we need to keep cool, and we need to be able to provide clear expectations to those kids. What are expectations that we as parents want to lay down for the kids? Okay, for example, you send your child to school, you expect your child to have good grades in school, for example, and your child is in school and they are having a hard time in school or having a hard time understanding, and maybe as a parent you haven't figured out yet what may be the cause of their frustration in school, what may be the reason why they are not doing well in school. When they get home and they come with a report card that is not exactly what you are expecting as a parent, because maybe you're one of these parents who is extremely smart and always have accomplished very well in school, and you expect the same thing from your kids. And when the kids come from school with a report card that does not meet your expectation, you get frustrated, you start yelling, you tell them how dumb they are, you cannot realize, you cannot understand how stupid they can be. Doing this and uttering all these words to your kids just make it worse. The best policy is to sit down and find out what is making them have these grades. So you should sit down with your child and ask your child, what's going on in school? You're not understanding the subject matter. What can I do to help you so that you will do the next time? You did bad this time. That's okay. We can work into making it better the next time. And tell me what exactly you're not understanding, and then you and I can sit down. If you need a tutor, I'll provide you a tutor. Anything that you need for me to do to help you succeed, please let me know. I'm here for you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to support you. I am your support. You can trust me. You can tell me anything. At that point of time, when you are able to say that to your kids, able to say that to any child whatsoever, they feel empowered to tell you the things that are lacking at school or to tell you the things that are hindering them in succeeding. And if maybe it's a learning disability that has occurred, you haven't been able to pinpoint, maybe it would be a time to seek help with the counselor and see what you can do to help your child accomplish your child accomplishment academically and help them boost their confidence. Because they at school, when they're at school, other kids will laugh at them. Oh, you did bad. You had an F and stuff, and they laugh at them. And instead of them going through that process of feeling worse than what they are feeling, when you provide that support system to them, they know that one person that is the most important person in their life, their parent, is there to support them no matter what. They will strive to do the best that they can do, not only to please you as a parent, but also they will feel good about themselves. They will feel good with the result and the accomplishment that they will have, knowing that they will continue to have the support that they have at home. So it is very important to lay down those clear expectations, and do not commend this expectation to your children, but provide those expectations as a formula for success into their life. It's a very, very difficult subject, because when we talk about expectation, even as adults, we have expectation of one another. We have an expectation that a person will pick up the phone and call you. You have an expectation that the person will tell you that you look beautiful. You have an expectation. All those expectations are wrong expectations. I think as adults, we need to have clear expectation and know that there are some expectations that are just not going to be met, and that we need to be able to accept them and move on. I always say, don't sweat the small stuff. So if you have expectation and they are not being met, maybe you need to re-examine those expectations. Maybe there are expectations that they just cannot meet. You have to know those expectations that you're laying down for yourself, are those the expectations that can be met? Are they tangible? Are they something that if you put them on yourself, will you be able to meet them? If you can look into those expectations and realize that you're putting too much expectation on your kids, and that instead of expecting something, you have to help them and lay those expectations and say, this is not something that I want you to do, that if you don't do, you're not my child or you're not the best child I can be. But these are the things that I hope that you can follow suit in becoming the person that I want you to be. Now, it is their choice if they want to be that person that you want them to be. They can choose a totally different path. And at that point of time, your job as a parent is to support them no matter what path they choose. Do not judge them. I think one of the best things about self-esteem is avoid judging the other person, avoid criticizing them, but being there for them, showing them all the love and support. No matter what, you're there. But giving them guidance that is essential for them to do the things that they're supposed to do. So get to the bottom of the problem. Do not criticize. It is very important to remember that your child is not being bad or is not being frustrated or is not having low self-esteem without any reason. There are true feelings and true reasons why low self-esteem comes to play in a child's life. So don't wait for the drama and the tears of, I cannot do this, this is so wrong, why I'm just the most stupid person in the world. Don't wait for that drama. Focus on the first signs and meltdown and intervene early in the sequence of events. You need to figure out what your daughter's problem is, what is your son's problem is, what's making them think so low of themselves. Try to find the reason, the deep issue. Why? Number one, find the problem. Break down the big problems first. If there are many problems, figure out which one you should take on first. The number one problem you need to take on is the biggest issue, which is the reason why your child is probably having the problems that they're having. What makes them feel so down and so low with regard to themselves? You have to strategize. You need to be able to distract them, make them feel a little motivated, remove their mind from the problem, from the issue. For example, if they come in and tell you all the reasons and all the problems that they have, say, yes, the problem you're laying down is a tough one. I understand. But let's see what we can do. Let's talk about the solution. Do not focus on the problem. Let them understand that you understand what the problem is. But now come down to finding solution together. It has to be a team effort. Do not decide on yourself that this is what I think that you should do. No, find the solution together. You have to be able to do this with calm. Take your time. Talk to them. Make a checklist with your child. Sit down one Sunday morning or one Saturday morning when both of you have time. Talk about it. Take an hour of your time. Sit down. Maybe decide that this Saturday you will spend time with your child, for example, only your child, to try to focus and figure out what is the meltdown, what is the problem, what is going on deep down inside that little head of theirs that makes them feel so bad about themselves. You have to be able to focus on the present. Provide the rewards for the feelings, the things that they are doing well, and provide them a sense of reward down the line in knowing that if they keep it up, if they keep that self-esteem high enough, they will have more rewards down the line. Keep a proactive and open communication lines with your child. It is very important. Also, be able to communicate with your child's teacher. Go to your child's school. Talk to the teachers. Figure out what's going on. How is your child behaving in school? What is your child not doing appropriately in school? What does the teacher think is the reason why your child is not focusing in school? And what are their suggestions of what you can do as a parent at home with your child in helping your child at school, for example? Doing too much to help your child to finish a difficult assignment may feel good to her, but it is not good for her. Remember that distracting children are often surrounded with negativity and begin to expect failure. So consider the challenges ahead of time. As much as you hope to help your child with their self-esteem issue, it is important to keep in mind that your love, your support is the most important and essential ingredient in helping your child's self-esteem come to the point to a healthy stand where they can be able to feel good about themselves and do the things that they can do. All right. So at some point, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have Tiffany Henderson. She's going to join me as we continue this topic. And together, we will enter deep into the challenges that parents feel and the challenges that the parents with kids with issues, for example, come and feel in helping the children doing the best things ever. So I am going to go ahead and take a little break as we're going to bring Tiffany in and we're going to continue on this topic. So talk to you in a minute. Okay, now we are back live, and I have my guest, Tiffany Henderson, with me here as we continue to talk about the problems of self-esteem in children. Hello, Tiffany, and welcome to Inspiring.
How are you, Jen?
I am doing great. Thank you for joining me. I know it was a short little decision for you to come in and talk with me with regard to self-esteem here of children. So, Tiffany, tell me, I know you're a mother first and foremost, and as a mom, together we face challenges each and every day with our children. And how do you instill self-esteem in your own kids, for example?
Well, I listened to a little bit of your show, and I didn't get to listen from the beginning like I wanted to. And as you were talking, all I could think about is the parents' side of it. And, you know, some of us don't have the self-esteem in ourselves to be able to instill those things in our kids. And as you know, I have 10th through 12th grade high school students that I'm teaching culinary arts to. So, you know, 60 other people besides my three look at me to support them in their self-esteem issues. So I couldn't help but think about, you know, as a parent, you know, what our beliefs are as far as how we look at ourselves. It really does affect how and what we say to our kids. For example, if I have bad self-esteem and I think that I'm awful and I think that I'm stupid, or, you know, I may say to my kids, you're stupid or that you're awful. So we really have to be mindful of, you know, how we think of ourselves and what we say to them, because they start to internalize those things and think that of themselves. And even if we're that type of person, then I think that we need to find ourselves some support of some people who do have strong self-esteem and, you know, have a support group or one-on-one mentor or somebody that can speak, you know, high self-esteem in us, and maybe take classes even on our self-esteem, because I don't care who you are, you want your kids to have a good self-image. And so that was what I thought about initially. And, you know, for the students in my class, I've noticed, you know, the school system has been integrating students with disabilities and things of that nature, whether it's learning or behavior. And somehow I've gotten a lot of students with, you know, a background in behavior issues. So I have to read their IEP plan to see, you know, how these things have come about, what severity it is, and, you know, the history of the notes of what has worked, what has not, how I can jump in and, you know, be a help to them. So, you know, as we're cooking, you know, they burn things, and so they feel bad. And then you have other kids talking about, you know, what they're doing. But I tell them, this is the place where you're supposed to make your mistakes, so that when you go out in the field, you make fewer of those mistakes, but we become better because of those mistakes. So sometimes you have to pull them aside and not call them out in front of, and this would apply to your kids at home if you have multiple children. You have to pull them aside and let them know even what their strengths and weaknesses are, because even for myself as 30-something, you know, you don't always want to hear what's wrong, but at the same time, you know, somebody can pull me aside, and I learned my strengths based on what other people told me about myself. I didn't recognize I had a strength in doing a demo as opposed to another portion of teaching that I did until my instructor told me so.
Yeah, I think that we always need another person to remind us of our strengths and remind us also of our weaknesses, because sometimes we focus more so into our weaknesses that we forget that we have strength too. And those are the two things that actually build your self-esteem. And as an instructor myself, when I speak to my student, and sometimes I do career development, and I'm preparing them to move forward and going into the workforce, and I ask them a couple of questions. I say, during the interview process, like a mock interview process, I say, tell me a little bit about your strength and tell me a little bit about your weaknesses. They will try to tell me something about their strength. Sometimes they don't know what their strengths are, and they don't know what their weaknesses are.
Or I find that they tell you what they would like for them to be as opposed to what they are.
Exactly. Or what they have heard people say you should say on the interview about your strengths and weaknesses. So I actually go into detail with them. I say, I need you to tell me what your strengths are. Like, take a minute and don't think of me as me interviewing you. Think of me as me just being there and talking to you as a friend. I want to be able to see what your strengths and weaknesses are. And from that point on, I can help you better if I know who you are as a person, opposed to you telling me what you want me to know about you or you think that I should know about you. So right. Once I get to that sense and I get information from them, then I realize how low the self-esteem is, and then I have to find a way to boost that self-esteem and let them know that they have what it takes to succeed. Because usually they come over there with the sense that, well, I'm just doing this anyway. I don't even know if I'm going to do anything with it. It's just a loss of my time. I'm just here. And all this money I'm going to have to pay back. But when you sit down, and then when I listen to them, I ask them, I say, do you have kids at home? They say, yes. I say, so what do you tell your kids when they have a problem similar to yours right now? When they come home and they're having bad grades in school, or when they come home and there is somebody bothering them at school and they feel that they're just worthless, what do you tell them? They usually don't have an answer for me.
Right.
They don't have an answer for me because they don't know what to say, because themselves, they are unable to figure out what to do to lift themselves up and do the things that they have to do. You know, I always tell them, I take an example of myself. I say, as an adult, I go through life struggles each and every day. And it has been time where I sit down and I cry like a little child. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't believe I'm going through all this. But at the same time, I have found my way of lifting myself up and motivating myself to continue to do the things that I set my mind in doing, regardless that I have challenges ahead of myself. And when I do remember that I have to pray and say that, you know, I always say, I have this word, I always say, the devil is a liar. I say that all the time, because I say, if I can say and repeat to myself, the devil is a liar every time, then I can do whatever I set my mind to do. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I say it every time. I say, you know, let me sleep on it. I will sleep on it. I wake up in the morning and I will say, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. I'm fine. I can do this. I take a deep breath and I'll say, you know what? Today is a new day. Let's move on. Let's do this. And I'll put a smile and I will do the things that I have to do, because at the end of the day, if you do not do it, nobody else will.
That's true.
So if you don't develop a self-esteem and you don't have self-esteem, then who is going to give you self-esteem on yourself to do the things that you're supposed to do, to accomplish the things that you're supposed to accomplish?
But that's something that you have to learn, Jeanette, because over time you wait on other people, just like kids have to. You wait on other people to tell you these things. And eventually in life, a lot of people, like we are, we get to the point where we have to reach around and pat our own self on the back. You know, I had a student who has gone to competition this weekend, and, you know, he spent a lot of time, and I said, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that, and you have to come extra. So he was willing to come extra, and, you know, I got a text last night that he got first place in the competition. So he told me the other day, he said, Chef, you know, you're like my second mom. I said, really? You know, that wasn't anything I was, you know, thinking about. And so he said, yeah, because my mom is this and my mom is that, and you do this and you do that. And so I look at you as a second mom. And so that puts things into perspective for me, and it made all the extra time worth it. And then, you know, for him to go and get first place on yesterday evening, you know, it's really exciting. So we have to be mindful of, you know, how we do things. So from that experience, I think that's one that I always remember. And then when new students are coming in, and, you know, my second block yesterday, they told me, you know, you act just like our mom. And, you know, a teacher is that of somebody who takes the place of your mom when you're away from home. And so for them to look at us whenever we're doing things like that, then, you know, it makes you feel like, you know, this is the place that I'm supposed to be. I'm doing the things that I need to do. If these students think that that's the position that I'm in when I'm with them. And so it speaks to that self-esteem.
But you know what, Tiffany, it's very essential that the child develops self-esteem. The problem with today's society, though, remains that most of the parents, or some of the parents themselves, like you stated at the beginning, they don't have a good self-esteem. So they have to take it from somewhere. So they have to actually recognize. The number one thing, first of all, is to recognize that you don't have self-esteem. You have self-esteem issue. That's why you're going through the things that you're going in life. And that the minute you're going to understand how to love yourself, because I think the problem with self-esteem is actually accepting yourself and loving yourself. If you cannot love yourself and you cannot accept the faults of your own self and accept who you are as a person, then how do you expect other people to accept you? So that's one issue with self-esteem. So if children at the beginning are not taught of knowing how to love themselves, knowing how to accept their errors and know how to fix those mistakes and know that it's okay to make mistakes, it's not the end of the world, and then when they grow up as adults, they have this sense of entitlement. Okay, I am entitled to this. If you don't give me that and this and that and that, not knowing that the sense of entitlement is not necessarily you showing that you have the self-esteem. No, the sense of entitlement is you just being a selfish little brat, literally. That's what it is. So you have to be able to have, to be able to accept yourself, love yourself first. And those type of things have to be instilled on kids early on. I have conversation with my daughter all the time. She'll come with issues at school. She'll tell me, she say, well, particularly she had a problem, a thing recently at school where some girl looked at her. I let her hair. She has natural hair. So I basically say, you need to go at school this time with your natural hair. So she went to school with this big afro. And she was in school, so all the people were looking at her like, and one girl literally just, make laugh at her, like, oh, why your hair is this big? You're supposed to have straight hair and all that. And it made her feel really bad. So she came home and she said, Mommy, will you make my hair straight like yours? I said, why? She said, because I really want my hair straight. I said, well, unfortunately, you have your hair straight when you're grown enough to know how to take care of it. She said, well, I really need my hair straightened. I said, well, I'm not doing it. Unfortunately for you, I will not be doing your hair straightened. I'm just going to keep your hair natural, and you're going to wear your hair natural just the way it is. So she took a deep breath, and she looked at me, and she sat there all sad, and she started crying. And I said to myself, why are you crying? You're crying because I say I'm not going to straighten your hair. She said, yes and no. I said, so what's the problem? She said, well, you know, when I went to school today, this girl, she was just laughing at me because I had big afro. And I said, well, what did you tell her? She said, well, I told her, I said, well, I like my hair. I don't care if you don't like it. She said, but when I said that, it felt good that I said that to her. But, Mommy, I just felt like maybe I should have hair like other people so I can fit in. Everybody has a straight hair. I'm the only person over there with natural hair. So I had to make her realize that it's okay to be different. You don't have to be like everybody else. We are not like everybody else. People are different each and every day. Everybody at school may have straight hair. You don't necessarily have to come over there and have straight hair. Are you going to school for people to look at your hair, or are you going over there to learn something? She said, I'm going to learn. I said, so does your hair matter how it looks? Does that change your learning style? She says, no. I said, so do you think that what the girl told you was the right thing to tell you? She said, no. I said, so do you still feel like you need to change your hair and make it straight? She looked at me for a minute and took a minute for herself, and she said, well, listening to you now, Mom, I don't think I need my hair straight. I think I'm going to actually stay like this. I think I'm probably going to keep my hair natural for the rest of my life because it will make me, and I'll be a special person. I said, there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, looking at those other kids, you know, most of them, they probably have naturally straight hair. So they may all have natural hair. Hers just happens to be curly.
Straight. Exactly. And that's exactly what I had to remind her. I say, she said, but we have a couple of kids with my type of hair, but they perm their hair. I say, and do you want to perm your hair? So after my conversation with her, she felt that she didn't need to perm her hair. She felt that she didn't need to fit in. All she needed to do is be herself. And that's one thing. Like, if a child can understand that you need to be yourself, you don't necessarily have to be what everybody else wants you to be.
But that's what you've learned over time. You were able to tell her that because you have strong self-esteem and you wear your hair any kind of way you want to wear your hair and you're okay with yourself. But if you were the type of parent who was affected by those things, then you would have allowed her to straighten her hair and then you would have been teaching her that based on what people think of me, this is how I need to change. And so then you have that vicious cycle of being a people pleaser and changing everything about you. And then they go into a crisis later on in life because they never looked inside of them to decide, you know, what is it that I want to do or what are the things I enjoy, because they were always spending their time pleasing other folks.
And that is so true. We do have a lot of people pleaser in society. You always have to have things done the way, because you saw the people doing it. You always have to portray an image of yourself that is necessarily not an image of yourself, because of that's how people would like you to be, not because right. of how you want to be. And I always say that you have to be able to be who you are, not what other people think of you. What other people think of you does not matter. I always say that. I say, I don't care what you think I am or who you think I should be. What I care about is what I think I am and what I think I should be. So to me, it's the most important thing is about what I care about myself. It is not about what other people think of me.
If people now, the only thing about that comment I'd say, Jeanette, is that it depends on who those people are that's saying those things to you, because people that are close to you, sometimes they can be far off too, but you know when somebody's telling you something in love that you need to consider, because we don't always act right. And so if your brother, for instance, is telling you something about what she recognized about you that you need to improve or change, that's somebody that you would listen to. And, you know, for me, the same. But any old somebody off the street or somebody that I run into or somebody that I go to school with, you know, that wouldn't matter. And so I think they need to know the difference.
Well, you know, I think it's not that the fact that you say that I am, you know, I am who I am and I don't care what other people think. I think that, and like you say, yeah, it can come over in that sense. But what I'm trying to say is that as an adult, for example, I always do a introspection of myself each year. I sit down and I see the things that I'm doing wrong that probably other people would not see it as a good thing. And I try to look and improve myself in a sense where I always want to be able to be me, but a better me, in knowing that I'm doing the things that I have to do in society, that society will not sit and judge me for the things that I have done. And probably necessarily put me in a hole and say, oh, she's this person and she's that person. I want to improve myself. And improving myself, improve my self-esteem. Okay? Not in a sense to say that I don't care what people say. I take in consideration what people say. And I make the best judgment of it on myself, on my own terms, not on the terms of others. For example, let's say that... What could be the best example that I can use on it when it comes to, for example, a child? Let's say that a child has one pair of tennis shoes, okay? And they're not Nikes. They're regular tennis shoes. They're not Nikes. And every time they go to school, somebody, and maybe the pair of tennis shoes that they have, they're not the best tennis shoes of all, but they're decent tennis shoes. They're clean. They look good. And they can wear them. They cover their feet, right? But anytime they go to school, one of the classmates or a couple of the classmates have Nikes, Burdens, whatever, and every day they come in school, they have a different pair of tennis shoes, right? Child starts, and anytime they look at the child, they say, oh, that's the only pair of tennis shoes that you have, you little loser, you this and you that and you that. So the child starts feeling very inadequate, like, wow, I can't fit because nobody likes me because I have this one pair of shoes. They come home.
Have you been to my house? That's what's happening at my house.
They come home and they want a different pair of shoes. They want the Nikes, they want the Jordan, because somebody else's school wants those Nikes. Okay, now, this is where I say, I don't care what you think of me. What I think of myself and how I look is what matters, not what you think of me. I don't care. At that point, I would tell the child, you need to go back to school. And tell that person who tells you, oh, you should wear these Nikes and this Jordan. Your mom and dad may be rich, and they can afford paying you those Nikes and Jordan. And hopefully they continue to be rich when you are an adult and continue to provide you with those Jordans and Nikes. When it comes to me, my parents are modest enough to provide me with this pair of shoes that are clean, so that I can come to school, sit here and learn. I'm not here to have a pair of Nikes and a pair of Jordans. I'm here to get an education. So if you will excuse me, I have an education to go attend to.
And I think it's growing.
Yeah. You know, because that's the way, because at that point, you're basically telling that person, I don't care what you think of me. What I think of myself right now is what matters. Am I clean? Yes. Do I have a pair of shoes on my feet? Yes. And that's all that matters. I don't care you have Nike.
You know what I do with my kids? Every year, you know, their birthdays are in the middle of the year, and then you have Christmas. And so I have them make lists of things that they want that they just absolutely must have, and that's the list that I pick from. I don't like surprises, so unless I know that it's something big that they want to get that they didn't write down, you know, that'll be the thing that we may get. But for Christmas and their birthday, they can get, like right now he has a really nice pair of Reeboks, but it's the only running shoe that he has. So that was the issue that we had at school is, you know, so many people have multiple pairs of shoes. I'm like, you're a runner. We're going to get you running shoes. And they are name brand, but there's only one pair. So I said, when you come to Christmas and your birthday and you want something else, then you can pick the kind of shoe. And 9 times out of 10, we'll get that particular pair of shoe, but you're not going to have multiple unless you save your own money. Mm-hmm. And so what you can tell your friends is that anytime you write down what you want twice a year, can they say the same, that they get everything they want? But between those times, you're only going to get your necessity. And so they come to learn, you know, that we have to wait. I want them to learn to wait. Just because you ask for something, every time we go to the store, we're going to get what's on our list that we need to have. And then at Christmas and your birthday, those are the times that we'll get the extra thing that you want.
Yeah, and I think that parents should start and putting that in the kids' mind early and letting them know that it's okay to... You know, you don't necessarily have to fit and be the other person and be on the choir of, I'm going to have this, I'm hip, and I'm that. And, you know, you have to be who you are. And that sense of who you are and accepting your position in society is very important in developing self-esteem, especially with these schools. Because when you go to school, it's a hard world out there. You know, children can be very mean at school. And because of that part of kids being mean, they can definitely destroy the self-esteem of one child. And if you as a parent are at home and you do not see the signs of that destruction of self-esteem from school, and you just add up to that at home by telling them, I cannot believe how stupid you are. You don't know how many times they hear that word at school.
Right.
So you just add up to that. And you just definitely made them understand that, oh, yeah, I am definitely stupid. Even my parents think that.
You made me think of a story for my 10-year-old. He came home and he cried, and, you know, it told me that he had a little bit of anger issues because I found a hole in my wall, and he's 10 years old. I'm like, bless his heart, what made you so upset? And he said, there's a little girl at school, and the teacher, for some reason, was calling out the grades, and she made a 92, and when they got to his name, he made an 82. And so he said, she's calling me stupid. I said, that's still a B. He said, but it wasn't better than hers. I said, okay, well, let's look at this. I said, do you think you're smart? He said, yes. I said, do you think you're smarter than her? He said, yes. I said, is that really important? He paused and he said, not really. I said, but, you know, what upset you about it? You know, because he knew that he was capable. I said, well, do we do what we need to do at home to make sure we have the grades that we're pleased with? I said, one way you can look at it is, she was 8 points from being perfect. So he laughed, and he didn't think of it that way. And so I asked him, what can you do at home to make sure that you can improve your grade? Because you're not a B-type student. You're an A-type student. He said, well, if I come home and just do my work and make sure I'm not missing anything. I said, okay, that's good. I said, well, what do you do when you get home? Because he gets home before I do. He said, well, I eat a snack and I watch TV. Okay. So as we talked, he pieced together and understood, I am better than what my grade reflects. And, you know, it's what I think about myself, not what she has to say about me. So, you know, I met the little girl and I said, Wesley told me so much about you. I said, he said that you're so intelligent, and I'm sure you guys are iron sharpening iron. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And so the teacher, I talked to the teacher about it, and she kind of put them in groups together, so they were on the same team. So now they're buddies because they're both really intelligent. And so that worked out. But had he not been able to share that information with me, then he would still be struggling with how he felt about himself.
Yeah, but that's what brings me to say that the line of communication has to be open at all home. Because usually when a child comes home, if they are unable to communicate anything with the parents, they shut down. So you will really never know. And they will develop this low self-esteem of themselves for years and years to come. And you will never know what's bothering them because you never give them a chance to opening up to you. It's very important to let your child know that I'm here. No matter what it is, you can lean on me. You can tell me. Don't be scared that I am going to judge you. I will not judge you. My job as a parent is to listen to you and to see how I can help you. Right?
Yeah, because we can always give them examples of the same thing that we've done when we were little. So anytime I parallel how I was at his age and, you know, an issue that I had, they can relate, and then that makes the thing more real. And then they value even more what you say as a, you know, as a lame parent, you know, because as he's getting older, heading to sixth grade, you know, your parents are not cool anymore. So we have to find a way to relate.
I know, right? They remind her, oh, Mom, you don't know that? Really? I'm like, excuse me? I wasn't born in this world. I cannot believe you don't know that. I'm like, no, I don't. Teach me. I hear that all the time. I think we're the most stupid parents of all time, this age and time, because kids be coming with different things, and I'm listening to them. I'm like, where is that coming from? You don't know? I'm like, no. And you should see my daughter's face when she's doing that.
That makes so much distance between us when they think we can't relate or we don't understand things. So when they have those opportunities where, you know, they're struggling, we can relate to those struggles for sure.
Exactly. So usually when she says something to me that is new and I've never heard of it, I'm like, okay. My excuse to her all the time, she will laugh. I say, you know, I wasn't born in America. I say, sweetheart, excuse me, if I can tell you something, can I say something before you continue? Well, so that mommy don't seem really dumb right now, I just want to tell you, I wasn't born in this country. Mm-hmm. So most of the things that you are telling me, I am not familiar with it. But I will do some research, and we're going to talk about that later, okay? And then usually I'll pick up the phone and be like, hey, do you know this? So that I can get information. Because I don't know.
And that's support. That's your support.
Yeah, because I don't know. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is she talking about? I don't know. I never heard of it. What's that? And now I have to go figure out what it is so that I can sit down and have an intelligent conversation with her. Because otherwise, I feel very dumb talking to my own child. I'm like, okay, forget it. Can we postpone that conversation for next time? Because right now, I can tell you because I was, and whenever I start saying, I say, I can tell you because I wasn't born. She said, because you were not born in the United States. Yes. She said, okay, Mom, you got to pass tomorrow, right? I say, yes. So you're going to do research? I say, yes, research. Because I don't know what I'm talking about. So I may as well just go find a way out. And then come have an intelligent conversation with her. So next time we can have a conversation and I can tell her what I think of the situation or what I think of what she told me. Because otherwise I won't know. And if I don't know, it's going to make it worse because she is coming to me for support and I'm unable to provide her support because I don't know what she's talking about. So educating yourself is a very important, you know, element in getting to your kid's head. So Tiffany, thank you so much for coming in at the last minute and joining me into this show and helping me out to continue with the topic on self-esteem. We are coming to the end of our show today here live at BBS Radio, but don't worry. We will be back Saturday, May 11 at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Before I exit, I will leave you with a couple of inspirational quotes and hope that you enjoy the time spent listening to me today. Self-esteem is as important to our well-being as legs are to a table. It is essential for physical and mental health and for happiness. Louise Hart. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Without a humble but reasonable confidence in your own powers, you cannot be successful or happy, Norma Vincent, and my most favorite of all. I prefer to be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring the ridicule of others, rather than to be false and to incur my own aberrations. Frederick Douglass. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, have a blissful Saturday. Ciao now.